Maybe it's been my wanderings back and forth to the West Coast that has made me want very much to preach this mountaintop sermon on the Transfiguration. Having just returned from the lands of the mountains of Washington State and the hills of Seattle to Rhode Island, where our only ski area is a valley, maybe that's why I wanted to preach about this mountaintop experience that we read in our lectionary passage today. This mountaintop which Jesus shared with his disciples. This Jesus, always teaching, always guiding, always leading. The Jesus the disciples encounter in this text. But in this moment of text, not doing, but being. Mountaintops are thin spaces. The air is thinner and the chance to see more clearly and see further into the distance can happen when you are on the top of a mountain. When was the last time you had a mountaintop experience? One of our college students noted to me in a recent email, people call certain experiences mountaintop moments for a reason, because they pull us out of ourselves and help us see the bigger picture to gain new insights. They make space for awe and wonder. So when was your last mountaintop experience, and are you due and in need of another? Mountaintop experiences can emerge from many different angles out of the journeys of our lives. We can happen upon them unexpectedly, and suddenly we get a glimpse of God in new ways that we never anticipated. They may also be intentionally nurtured. We may make space for them in our lives, invited and emerge out of a disciplined life of prayer and meditation, reflecting on God's word, and yet still how God speaks in the midst of that can be unpredictable, and God's timing often not our own. Mountaintop experiences can be born in times of sadness, illness, or grief, when God meets us in the depths of despair, when the loss of a job refocuses life in new ways and makes one take time to reflect on those things which really matter. Mountaintop experiences can be born in the midst of transition, when we are anticipating new directions and experiencing God in new ways. In the lectionary, there is an intentional parallel in this gospel passage to the experience of Moses in receiving the law. It's no accident in this passage and in this story that the three giants of the faith, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, law, prophecy, and salvation, all congregate together on the mountaintop with these disciples. We may remember mountains in the giving of the Ten Commandments to Moses and the awe which accompanied that as he returned from 40 days and 40 nights to the people with his face radiant because he had spoken with the Lord, as Exodus puts it. And we may also remember the story of Elijah, who after slaying the prophets of Baal, seeks direction from God out of despair that all of these people were seeking to do him harm, seeking his destruction. Again, on the mountaintop, he meets God, not in the wind or the earthquake or the fire, but in the still, small, silent voice. Very different mountaintop experiences, but pivotal ones, and ones which we can hearken back to as we seek, as a people of God, to move forward in faith. Matthew's text tells us that Jesus led the disciples to the mountain. In Luke's version of the story, they retreat in order to pray. The scene immediately follows in the Gospels, Jesus' words to the disciples that he is to be crucified, and that anyone who wants to be a follower must take up their cross and follow him, to lose their life in order to save it. And the disciples are not really happy with this message. happy about revising their picture of this Messiah that they had been following, who healed and taught and sought to live into such a new world of transformation. This isn't what they signed up for, you might imagine them saying, a Messiah who suffers to the point of death. In Luke's version, Luke explicitly records that Jesus, Moses, and Elijah are discussing this reality. They appeared in glory and were speaking of Jesus' departure. The word in Greek is literally the Exodus. Imagine that you were invited by Jesus to the mountaintop to retreat, to pray, to follow Jesus up there. And you began to experience this kind of revelation, seeing Jesus, Moses, and Elijah conferring together on the slopes of the mountain. After all that talk so recently about how Jesus would have to be crucified, here is the incredible opposite experience. Jesus in dazzling glory. Now, this is the kind of messianic experience that they'd signed up for, and they want to capture it. They want to stay on that mountaintop. That is exactly Peter's response, who is oh so human. Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll make three dwellings here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. I guess they would camp outside of those. Peter wants to capture the moment, to do something which will enable him to stay up there in the midst of that glorious feeling of power, of clarity, of wisdom, with these three pillars of the faith, to stay in that moment forever. Yes, William Barclay says, they are to fully experience the mountaintop. But as he has reflected on this passage, he writes, the moment of glory does not exist for its own sake. It exists to clothe the common things with a radiance they never had before. Peter doesn't get to stay on the mountaintop. The cloud comes over the scene, and God's voice is heard. And they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they sifted and sorted through the messages of law and prophet and Jesus' mission on earth, there was for them a clarity of vision. No one except Jesus alone. When in your life have you been able to see no one but Jesus alone? And so I think in reflecting on this text in this time and this season, that is the gift that the disciples receive on the mountaintop. Out of their fear of what was to come, this message of taking up the cross, when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus alone. And they do not stay on that mountain. The story does not end there. As God spoke at the time of Jesus' baptism by John, exactly the same words, God speaks to the disciples, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The story does not end here with this magnificent encounter with the three pillars of the faith, Moses, Jesus, and Elijah. The disciples are to take this mountaintop experience and to live it out in the world. These same disciples who experienced the transfiguration are empowered by it and will be the same disciples who journey with Jesus all the way to Gethsemane. Where will we take our mountaintop experiences as we prepare to enter into a new season of the church year, this Lenten season of preparation for Easter, as we enter into Lent this Ash Wednesday? Where will we take our mountaintop experiences as we see Jesus again in the communion table this day? How will we deepen those experiences in which we see only Jesus and move to follow him with our lives? Lent offers to us a perfect time for such reflection and action. A mountaintop experience in a season, if you will, to pause in the moments of these weeks, to look at our lives and to look to see only Jesus. Where will Lent's journey take you? In study, in mission, in quiet, in action, in giving up, or in taking on? May Lent surprise you with new mountaintop experiences. May it transform your experience of Christ in your life wherever you may journey, and may it prompt you to see the world in new ways, to see no one except Jesus only, to live as Christ's disciples. Amen.